First Kings, the 19th chapter. We're going to read beginning at verse 4. After the threat of Jezebel in the earlier verses, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he came and sat down and he said, O Lord, it is now enough. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. And he lay down and slept under the broom tree. Then notice these words. But behold, an angel touched him and said to him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he rose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. We'll continue at verse 9. It says, he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him that said, What are you doing here? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Israel. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. The one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. This is the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, we come back to this passage where we see God dealing with Elijah. Remember, Elijah had said, I have had enough. I've had it. I quit. I want to die. And he goes on. He tells the Lord twice, they're trying to kill me. The people have fled. I need to quit. But does God answer that request? No. God instead begins to show and to demonstrate his grace to Elijah. And the first thing that we see is that the Lord refreshes Elijah for the journey that he's going to go on to Mount Horeb. God gives grace. He doesn't give up on Elijah. He didn't quit on Elijah, who said, I quit. He gave him grace. He didn't quit on Elijah, and he will not quit on you or me when we fail him as well. This fugitive, like so many others, was given grace. What's the first thing that God does for him? He lets him sleep. He gives him rest. And he strengthens Elijah for the journey. I don't know what it was like to have an angel come along and give you one of these, bump you, wake up, eat, drink, does it again. Wakes him up, gives him something to eat, something to drink, because God was going to supply Elijah what he needed to continue to serve the Lord. And God gives Elijah these things so that he might be able to fulfill God's commandments, so that he might do what God had commanded him to do. And he is faithful even when Elijah is not. He's faithful when we are not. He's always faithful. That's the message that we should always remember in the story of Elijah. God is always, always faithful to you and to me in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what God does here for Elijah is he gives him the strength that he needs to do the will of God. And then he sent him through the wilderness to Mount Horeb. Notice that he sent him an angel. The angel obeyed the Lord even when Israel had dishonored the covenant. Remember in Elijah's response to the Lord, they have forsaken your covenant. He says it twice. They have dishonored you. But God does not give up on Israel, and he doesn't give up on Elijah. He sends him an angel so that he might be able to go on. He gives him an angel so that he might get food and sleep, and he provides for Elijah. Isn't it amazing how God cared for Elijah throughout his ministry? Remember what he did for Elijah when he told him, I want you to go to the brook Kereth. How did he, you know, at the brook Kereth, there wasn't a McDonald's on the way. You know, it's always nice to be able to stop at McDonald's, grab a sandwich like we did this morning. Great thing to have. But what if there's no McDonald's? What if there's nothing to get? How did Elijah get fed? God sent ravens. Think about that for a moment. Ravens to the brook Kereth, and they fed Elijah. And then after that, he says, I want you to go to this other place, Zarephath, and there will be a woman there. There is where you're going to be fed. And where does he go? He goes to that place, and what does this widow do who says, I have nothing left except one meal. I'm going to feed me and my son, and we're going to die. But the woman doesn't die. The woman and her son continue to live. And Elijah lives because God, by grace, sovereignly provides for Elijah through a poor widow who had nothing to give until God filled her coffers and blessed him. And now he is fed by an angel. Now remember the ravens. Now ravens normally do what? They eat the food themselves. They're not really DoorDash providers, you know. But here they were, because God is sovereign over the ravens, who normally would have eaten the food. He says, you're going to deliver the food. And the barrel of meal at the widow's house, God is sovereign over that and sovereign over the empty barrel, and he creates an abundance. And now Elijah has nothing because he's out in the middle of the wilderness. He's fallen asleep, and the angel goes, wake up, eat, and drink. And he wakes up, and he eats and drinks. And notice what it says, you know, as we go back to the passage. He looked, and there was at his head, a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. Now, how do you bake out in the wilderness? I guess, how does an angel bake out in the wilderness? I don't know, but there it was. God had provided it. And God is sovereign over angels, over emptiness, over Elijah, over everything. And he has battalions of angels at his control, so the outcome is never in doubt. And the angel who listened to God's word, Elijah didn't, obeyed, and he fed Elijah. And notice that it says he fed him, and in the strength of that, verse 8 says, Elijah ate enough to go 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I don't know how much you need for 40 days and 40 nights, but that's a long journey. But every step he took on that journey to Mount Horeb was a testimony of God's unchanging faithfulness to Israel, his unchanging faithfulness to Elijah, and it is a testimony of his unfailing, unchanging faithfulness to us. A journey of 40 days and 40 nights took far longer than it should have, but it was used by God to teach a lesson. And it is not hard to see the lesson. God had led Israel in that same wilderness for a period of what? 40 years. And they had come right up to the point of conquering the land of Canaan, but they backed off. They didn't trust in the Lord and in the word of the Lord. Yet the God of grace, who had established his covenant with Israel, finally brought them into the land as he promised. And it took 40 years, but God didn't fail them, because God cannot fail. God will not fail. Maybe that is why we have the wonderful hymn in our hymnal, "Great is thy faithfulness." God is faithful. He meets our needs by his amazing grace. He meets your needs. He always meets your needs by his grace and by his sovereign power. You can rest in that truth. And what accounts for God's unchanging and faithful love to an unfaithful people? It's his sovereign purpose, his good pleasure, to redeem his elect people and to save them by his grace. You see, the victory is not rooted in his people, in their faithfulness, in Elijah's faithfulness. The victory is rooted where? In God himself. God is faithful. And beloved in the Lord, that is why Jesus cannot, will not ever fail you. Find comfort in that truth. Whatever you face, whatever you might go through, comfort yourself in knowing that no matter what it is, God cannot fail you. He will not fail you. Jesus will never fail you. He will never fail you in his promises, whatever that may be. He will always carry out his sovereign love to you, because he loves you in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Elijah needed to know that, and that's what happens in our passage as we look at it again. But notice Elijah's complaint. Elijah complains that the people had refused the covenant. The word of God was rejected. They were covenant breakers, violators, outwardly formal, orthodox, yet a people that abandoned the word of God and disobeyed the law of God. Their worship was dishonoring to God. The prophets and the altars were spurned and burned. The counterfeit religion was made up. You know, the religion like today, the syncretistic religion. Worship like you want it to be. You know, that's what everybody wants today, isn't it? Church that goes the way I want it to go. It would almost be like if we could remove all these chairs and put in Lazy Boy recliners. Oh, wouldn't that be great? The church today wants to be comfortable. The church today wants to be whatever it wants to be. But it doesn't want to be what God says it should be. And the problem with that is that God's word has declared what the church is and should be. But these had despised the means of grace. Every warning of apostasy had been ignored. The prophetic office which brought the word of God to the people of Israel had been met with stopped up ears. There was no desire of the people to come to sit under the preaching of the word, to hear God speak through his word. They didn't want it. They wanted the Baal religion, which was exciting. And so they said, well, let's mix that up with the work, with the worship of God. Syncretism, mix it up. And the word of God condemned it. And Elijah is calling out to God for justice. He is claiming that he is a part of the remnant that was reduced to about as low as it gets. I am the only one left. And notice his zeal was all used up. Now, did that move God to say, guess the plan might have to change, or we might have to go to plan B because it isn't working? There's only one left. Elijah, is that the answer that God gives? No, the answer that God gives is far different than the one Elijah expected. The answer that God gives is this: his word will always prevail. Elijah expresses despair. God gives grace. And the remnant is preserved according to grace. The covenant breakers have not short-circuited God's plan. The covenant breakers would break the covenant, would do exactly what Elijah said, be unfaithful to God, but God would always have a remnant, which would include the Gentiles as well. An innumerable, unmeasurable multitude saved by grace and by the power of God. And only God determines when we have had enough. And so he didn't let Elijah quit. When Elijah wanted to quit, God says, no, I've got a job for you. Get up. I want you to go. I want you to anoint this one. I want you to anoint that one. And I want the word of God to continue. Why? Because God's word will never, ever be silenced. Think of that. God's word will never, ever, ever be silenced. Picked up a book recently that talked about a very well-known minister in the Reformed Church in America. And as I was reading through it, in it, there was a reflection upon what happened at the General Synod of the Reformed Church when they included in the Synod a decision about the Word of God. And basically what they said was, well, we don't need to use those words any longer about the Word of God, that the Word of God is unable to be changed and so on and so forth. In other words, it's the Word of God, and they wanted to preach the Word of God, but they don't like inerrancy. And that word kind of got taken out of the theological language of the denomination. I remember quite well my own pastor, who was in the Reformed Church in America in 1950s. He entered the ministry late 1959, I believe it was. And he, in his ministry, talked about how things had gone liberal within the denomination in terms of the Word of God. He held to it firmly, but he said the denomination had kind of given up on the inerrant Word of God. Elijah had to be reminded that God's Word would never, ever, ever be silenced. And he would be raised up to bear that word of the Lord and continue that ministry of the word by anointing Elisha in his place. To do what? To preach the word of the Lord, because God's word would continue. It would prevail against covenant breakers, and it would bring into the covenant those whom God would save by his awesome grace. God's answer to Elijah is that same answer that reminds us that God is faithful. His word will always accomplish its purpose. Isaiah tells us that. The scripture tells us that. And the scripture tells us that God would send Jesus to be the great prophet, priest, and king of his people. And the word incarnate would come to save and to redeem a people unto himself. The one who would come into this world, he would come into the world, the Lord Jesus. And remember, he came into the world and he spent 40 days in the wilderness. But he did not succumb to despair. He came on the basis of the inerrant, infallible word of God, and he kept it, and he preserved it, every jot and tittle. That means every piece of a letter, and the smallest letter of the scripture, inerrant, eternal, inspired, and God is faithful to that word. Remember this, God's word cannot fail. And until that last day, the remnant will be chosen, the remnant that is chosen by grace will ultimately be brought into the fold of the Lamb of God, slain for sinners from before the foundation of the world, because the word of God has declared that God will gather his elect and save them for all eternity. He's faithful to his word. His word will not fail, and he will not fail you. What a comfort that must be to the hearts of each one that trusts in him. Let us pray.